He pioneered Jets blogging and podcasting. He brought smiles to the faces of Jets fans all over the world. He was there through the good and bad. And then, one day, he vanished. People far and wide wondered, where has he gone? When will he return? Thankfully, the answer is now. The OG of Jets podcasting and vlogging is back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Live from the Vivid Seat Studios, use the promo code OVERTIME for up to $100 off your first ticket purchase after you download the Vivid Seats mobile app. This is There's Always Next Year with Brian Bassett.
I'm back. The real me. Let's not make a whole thing of it.
And his co-hosts, Chef Travis Milton and Josh Conrad on Turn on the Jets Digital.
Welcome back to There's Always Next Year. I am your host, Brian Bassett, and you can follow me on Twitter at Brian_Bassett. And as always, after an epic win over the Cowboys in Week 6 by the Jets, I am here with Travis Milton, who you can follow on Twitter at -37board27, and our co-host as well, Josh Conrad, who you can find on Twitter at Josh_Conrad. Fellas, what the hell happened on Sunday? The Jets beat the Cowboys. Wow.
We won a football game. We looked like an NFL team and we won a football game, guys.
You're taking it a step like further than I was going to go. It's just going to be like, oh my God, we played a football game. Like the Jets played and they played like they played.
It was amazing to see. I just totally. So I was traveling and caught the second half of the game live. But I was just anticipating just utter slaughter, and you know, I'm following the game in the car as we're headed down to a conference, and I can see, okay, the Jets are winning, and then we get to a bar. I'm watching the second half. Holy crap! You know, they're up big, and you know, obviously, it kind of, you know, the Cowboys came back and got back into the game, but you know, I mean, to the very end, bitter, you know, could have been a bittersweet loss if they lose that game on the 2-point conversion or I guess tie, but what was just surprising to me was holy crap, like, you know, this team is playing in this game and they're competing. So I guess my question is this a function of Sam Darnold playing and being healthy, or is this a function of the Cowboys are overrated, or is it a little bit of both? Like, where do you feel on that, Travis?
You know, anyone that's listened to this podcast has heard me bitch and moan about the offensive line and be, you know, pissy and negative. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, I think one of the things I don't think I realized would affect the Jets so much was Sam Darnold's ability to extend a play and to make quick reads. He saved the offensive line's ass in a lot of moments, and as opposed to them saving his ass. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a big thing, but also, yeah, the Cowboys were totally overrated. That like the amount of drop passes and things like that, the defense did not look great. I'm saying that as a Jets fan, so I mean, right, they still look better than us most weeks, but sure. I'll take it. But yeah, I think it's a little bit of both.
What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, I think we're seeing, you know, that the Cowboys, which 3 weeks ago looked like world beater, you know, looked like world beaters. Dak Prescott was going to get a $40 million contract. Kellen Moore was going to get, you know, the first choice of what NFL team you wanted to coach next year. And like, they've obviously not played well the last 3 weeks. So it's a little bit of both. Obviously, like getting a starting NFL quarterback back on your team matters in the NFL. And so, you know, for weeks here, like the couple of plays Trevor Siemian played, and then the weeks of Luke Falk, it's like, those guys are backups and third stringers for a reason. You know, when a pass rush is coming, they're not as sure on their feet to make moves. Like, I was so impressed with Darnold's footwork yesterday, like avoiding edge rushers, stepping up in the pocket, rolling out. Like, he just looked confident. And like, if there's one thing you need to feel, it's that your NFL quarterback, like, he can make plays when a defense rushes him, which is what happens on every single play in the NFL. So, man, I feel it's a little bit of both, but I actually feel like if it trends one way or the other, it's having Darnold back. Like, he looked so sharp yesterday. Like, I'm suggesting we all go out and contract mono in all of our lives and the superpowers that
did it. And if you recall, my career exploded right afterwards.
It's a great point. Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, you weren't doing, you know, whatever, celebrity chefs with Jose Andres and dropping in on Netflix series and things like that prior to that. But somehow mono does that to grown-ups. So well done, Travis. Well done, Sam. And I think, yeah, to your point there, how Darnold affects things is, right, like, So I'm at a software conference with my team, and many of the software developers on our team, some of them are football fans, but most of them are not. And so I'm trying to explain to them, okay, so like Sam Darnold was the quarterback for the Jets. He is, I think, the youngest quarterback since the merger to start an NFL game. And in fact, he's so young, he's still contracting mono as a quarterback in the NFL, and that has a real value. And so I think the point is, like, we're seeing him start to mature, and, like, you know, the progression which we saw at the end of last year, now we're getting the continuation of that, and the fact that he doesn't have mono anymore, so he's not just throwing to Jameson Crowder 25 times. But, right, I mean, the plays, and to your point, Travis, his ability to avoid the rush and know kind of where the protections are going to break down and improvise to then, you know, get the ball to the players he needs to. And I think Travis, you said it offline, like the rapidity, I guess is the word, the rapidity of his read progressions was impressive, right? So, like, talk more a little bit about that. Like, so you're saying he's going quickly through his reads and able to just basically make a decision with the ball before the rush is coming?
Kind of. I mean, that's all a part of it. But also, I mean, you know, after the snap, the amount of time it's, you know, taking him to go through his progressions and get the ball out of his hands is much quicker than I, you know, maybe it's because I haven't seen him, you know, on field.
Yeah, since December, playing well. Exactly. Yeah, since.
Yeah. Yeah. But I didn't recall it being, you know, that quickly and that decisively and the ball getting out of his hands, you know, with, as you said, rapidity. I'm not sure if that's a word. Is that actually a word?
I'm making it a word. We're making it a word.
It's strategery. It's now a word.
it's a Bushism. Yes. But, you know, I think that I was lulled into my, you know, complete and utter negativity by the, you know, the past, you know, 3 or 4 weeks of the Jets playing. And I hadn't really, or maybe I'd just taken it for granted or just not remembered it, but I don't recall him being that sharp, and it was impressive to me. And I came out of that game, like, very hopeful for once in my life for the Jets.
Well, yeah, and we'll get to that in a little bit, but in the meantime, like, Sam Darnold, obviously, you know, the star, and he's getting all the ink today in New York in the newspapers, but one of the other players who certainly deserves commendation is Jamal Adams, who played maybe one of the best games of his career, and that's saying something for a young player who is, you know, pretty impressive. 9 tackles, 1.5 for loss, and just his ability to you know, put pressure on the Cowboys offense at important moments in the game. Like, if you remember that series where they went for it, they were kind of inside the 10, and it was, I think, 7-3 was the score. And so Adams helps on the third down stop, or maybe he gets the third down stop. And then he and Quinnen Williams kind of combined to stop Dak Prescott on that 4th-and-2. You know, and then that then turns into, on the next play or whatever, next series, you know, Darnold comes in and he throws to that to Robbie Anderson for that long touchdown. What did you guys think when you saw Jamal Adams? Like, was he just energized and up for that game because it was the Cowboys, or was it just the fact that Darnold's back? Or I don't know, like, what were you guys watched it live? I got to only watch the second half. When you watched Jamal Adams play, what impressed you specifically?
Yeah, I feel like I don't know what has changed in the last week or two here, but, man, the play calling defensively it just felt like everything was clicking. And I know, like, the second half, the Cowboys especially could move the ball. We still need to talk about our linebackers and most of the secondary. I mean, Zeke Elliott was all over the place, but man, it just felt like an energized play calling scheme that we saw. Leonard Williams probably play his best game in, geez, like 2 years. Like, seeing Quinnen Williams come up with a big play, Jamal just flying all over the field, making plays, especially on that 2-point conversion. It felt inspired and it felt strategic. Like, I don't know if there's something they saw this week, Greg Williams and the defensive coaching saw this week, that they could exploit some things from the Cowboys, but it just felt like almost everything was kind of clicking from the play calls. And so when they needed a big stop, they just got them. And so, I mean, Jamal maybe a little bit more pumped having Sam Darnold back, maybe feeling like there's a way that, you know, this team can turn the corner with this second half schedule. I don't know what was all going into it, but it feels like a combination of excitement, good play calling, and just really great execution made for him to have a really great game.
Brian, sorry to interrupt for a second, but I just have to let people know about something really awesome. My brother, Craig, he said that the Jets were not only going to cover, but A, it was his lock of the week, and B, he picked them to win outright and advised people to bet them on the money line. If you would have taken his advice by going over to mybookie.ag and using the promo code OVERTIME, you would have made yourself a whole bunch of money, and they would have doubled your deposit, so you would have made double the amount that you bet as well. Could have been on a bunch of props, whether or not Darnold was going to throw over 2 touchdowns, whether or not the Cowboys were going to be able to get past the Jets offensive line for multiple sacks. You could have bet on the amount of yardage that Robbie Anderson was going to have. A lot of prop bets you could have placed. If you missed out, I suggest you copy what Craig says next week. Again, mybookie.ag, promo code OVERTIME, and they will double your first deposit. Mybookie.ag, you play, you win, and you get paid. Okay, sorry about that, Brian. Go ahead, continue.
Travis, on that last play of the game, the last crucial play of the game, the 2-point conversion where the Cowboys elected to throw the ball instead of maybe run with Zeke Elliott there. Take me through how you were feeling when you were watching that moment and kind of the pressure Jamal Adams got on Dak Prescott at that moment.
So I was watching it on my computer. So I was on like maybe a 35, 40 second delay. And unfortunately, due to that delay, I was looking down at my phone at text from you and Josh.
Oh,
and actually missed the play. I just looked up and was like, holy shit.
Oh, man. I was sitting in the bar. I was sitting in the bar with my team, and we're watching it, and I'm just – and they're like, oh my gosh, like this is a situation where, you know, the way the game has unfolded completely could essentially reverse itself in one play. And you're looking at it, they're going for two, you know, they're wherever they are on the 2-yard line or whatever it is. And I'm just thinking, this is like, the Cowboys have a pretty good offensive line. I mean, maybe it hasn't been great today. The Jets have, you know, certainly asserted their will a bit, but you've got Zeke Elliott. Like, of course you're going to run here. Like, why would you throw on a 2-yard situation to win the game? And it felt like watching it play out and then seeing, you know, the pressure. So Jamal Adams gets pressure, the ball comes out early, you know, incomplete pass. And it felt like the end of that Seahawks Patriots game. Now I know there was an interception kind of in that situation, but like, it's like, you've got Marshawn Lynch, like, just run the ball and win, you know, and win the game. And that is kind of similarly how it played out for the Cowboys. Like, I don't understand in that situation why they elected to throw. And I think that certainly cost them. They could have swung the tide there in that moment. But they didn't. And so I was very happy, but it was just one of those moments where, like, oh, okay, I'm so used to the Jets being in this situation. They've, you know, let me down for a number of years now. Like, it's just going to be another time where that happens. And, you know, lo and behold, Adams, you know, had some incredible pressure to force that early pass. So yeah, hats off to Jamal Adams, hats off to Sam Darnold. I don't know, when we look to the future now, as we look to the next couple weeks, Patriots, okay, and then things really soften up for a good long while. But having seen the way Sam Darnold played and seen his connection with Robbie Anderson, which is certainly still there. And right, he has, you know, poor Robbie Anderson has languished with backup quarterbacks and, you know, just someone with the players with the inability to get the ball to him. How do you look at, right, the next, you know, section of the season? And are we, you know, I was super downcast a week ago. And while I still don't think this team is, you know, going to the Super Bowl, are we allowed to have more hope? Having seen the way the Cowboys game played out, I mean, I certainly don't know that they're going to beat the Patriots. But Josh, what do you think? Like, are you feeling more optimistic as we kind of head into the middle stretch of the season?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, the several of the next weeks. I mean, through the second Dolphins game on December 8th. Like, after that, it's a little bit dicey with Ravens, Steelers, Bills. But, like, Dolphins twice, the Bengals, the Raiders, the Redskins, the Giants, the Jaguars, and then obviously this coming week against the Patriots. Like, there's probably five wins I feel pretty good about. But I think more than this year, I still don't think – I don't think an epic run is coming. I don't want to be the Jets fan who thinks we're beating the Patriots next Monday. Like, I don't know who's winning that game. But I do feel like we're starting to see a little bit of, you know, very freshly and out, you know, one day later with Darnold, with some of the receivers. You know, let's see what we have when Herndon comes back, if we can address the offensive line and the secondary. Like, I feel like there's now a little bit of momentum riding back toward, okay, let's build this roster over the next 2 years and really become a contender. But I feel optimistic, but at the same time, I don't see many. I don't see nine wins left. Like, I don't think we're making a playoff push here. I feel like we'll finish somewhere around 6-10, or, you know, if things go really well, like a 7-9 season. But you know, I'm optimistic. I think we'll compete in some of these games. I think we'll compete next Monday. I think at least two or three quarters, we'll feel like the Jets are keeping this within one or two possessions. And then, you know, I fully anticipate to lose by double digits. But right now, like, it'd be hard not to have some optimism, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the way I feel. How about you, Travis? Like, I kind of feel like that, as we talked about last year with that Houston game. Like, I don't expect you to, you know, beat the world. I just expect you to be competitive. And right, like, even if the Jets lose that game against the Cowboys yesterday, I mean, hey, they were competitive. And we'll talk in a second here. I want to talk about the defense and the penalties, because we haven't even gotten to that yet. But yeah, Travis, when you look at this team and you look at the future, how are you revising your gloom?
No, not 100%. I thought the play calling was better yesterday, and you know, I don't disagree with a lot of the talking heads in that, you know, the play calling is completely different when Darnold is in there, because Darnold has a completely different and better skill set than, you know, a second, third string quarterback. I agree with that. I'm still not 100% sold on that, and I don't think we're beating the Patriots. The offensive line, I'm still not sold at all, although, you know, I was stoked to see Lewis playing well yesterday. Winters actually had a pretty good game. I don't think I can allow myself to be that vulnerable and believe in this team to that point. I've been hurt too many times.
No, I hear you. There was yes, it's, you know, the trope is the old, you know, Charlie Brown and Lucy in the football, right, situation. And the Jets get a win like this, and it's like, okay, Lucy's not going to pull this football away next time. And then she does, right? So there is this fear of, like, am I really going to try and make this kick? You know, am I going to put my heart back into it again? And right, I'm with you, Travis, where I want to see how they play. You know, I need more data points, right? I need them to play well, even in a loss to the Patriots, before I'm ready to say, okay, like, let's see where this team gets before the end of the year. Oh, I don't think that's happening, but
I don't either. But I'm going to be listening to that Barry Manilow song where it's what I can't remember the name of, but I think it's like, I'm ready to take a chance again.
Yeah, chance on love.
Yeah,
I know. That's probably Rose's.
Open up and be vulnerable.
The obscurity of pop culture the three of us bring into this podcast is like, if you're a listener out in the world and you have no idea what we're talking about, like, just congratulations. Like, we are opening up your eyes to a world you never knew existed.
Yeah, Barry Manilow.
Yeah, ready to take a chance again. That's the song, yeah, man.
It's great. I did see Barry Manilow in concert one time, FYI.
Were the Golden Girls the opening act, or
no? Man, I would have shit my pants if that was the case.
I love the visual of Travis Milton, drink in hand, screaming, "Oh, Mandy!" at the top. It makes me so happy.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Travis is in, he's all in. I think the thing that's the thing that's most surprising about him is, like, I'm not trying to stereotype you, Travis, but you're just a big guy with, you know, bushy beard, and yeah, you're a chef and you're kind of a tough dude, but then it's like, oh dude, I love me some Genuine, right? Or oh dude, like, I love me some Golden Girls, or like, oh dude, I love me some Barry Manilow. It's like, wait, what? Okay, all right. Like, oh, I love singing Backstreet Boys karaoke. Like, okay, I love
it. Right?
I love it. So good. You're so confident in who you are. You do not give a fuck what other people think, which is what I love about you, brother.
Correct.
Love it. So, okay. So more, let's talk more about the penalties and the defense. So, right. So the big thing that happened was going into the half was, oh my gosh, like, the Jets are winning. They're winning pretty big here compared to how we thought this was going to happen. And then you start to see the air getting let out of the balloon a little bit in the second half. And we saw that kind of with the defense, certainly went into, I mean, and hey, right, when they needed the plays, they came up big, right? So kind of that bend, don't break style, but then also, you know, the penalties, right, which was crucial, and kind of let the Cowboys get back into the game. How do you guys feel about that? Is that just something the Jets can clean up, or just they're overmatched, you know, when you're still running Tremaine Johnson out there, and they're just not going to be able to clean it up, and this is what we need to expect this year until they add some more pieces, you know, get guys like, you know, Avery Williamson back or whatever. Josh, when you think about this team, do you feel like this is the way it's going to be, bend, don't break, and, you know, penalties galore, or what?
Yeah, I feel like there are weeks coming up. I think this Monday could be one of them where Jets come riding in a little bit too close to the sun, and get burnt on a lot of pass interference, a lot of defensive holding, a lot of offsides, a lot of, you know, like, I think there are a lot of penalties coming, especially at some of these positions where, you know, like, for the majority of it, you know, a younger defensive line, I feel like a guy like Tom Brady is going to look for every edge he can get. What's encouraging to me is that, you know, seemingly yesterday we didn't have to keep sending the house. I know, you know, there's certainly big blitzes that Greg Williams dialed up, but it felt like that front four played so well in a, you know, against a Cowboys line that I know is a little bit banged up, but like is always being reported as one of the top five in the league. And so that was really encouraging. And if we can get some pressure on Tom Brady using four guys and make him make plays and find spots in the secondary, which I know aren't super hard to do against this secondary, but I feel a little bit optimistic that, you know, maybe some of these guys are turning the corner. If Leonard Williams has any value, you know, going forward, not just eating up space, but actually becoming a playmaker in the middle of that defense, opening things up for some of the other guys, I feel like there's some optimism to be had here. But yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit of a mixed bag. We're going to get great plays mixed with, you know, Tremaine Johnson getting burnt for a 70-yard touchdown. So, I think those things are just going to continue. Hopefully against some of these not so great teams over the next 6 weeks, there are offenses we can kind of hold in check, and Darnold can get some time and make some plays. But yeah, it's going to be a mixed bag for sure. I'm not going full fledged. We're a turned over defense at this point.
Travis, what are the keys to for this defense as they go forward into this next group? If it's going to be a bend don't break unit, like, what are the things that in a game by game situation? And again, like, Tom Brady's going to, you know, he's going to tear you apart at the joints, but but what are the things that this team can do? Like, where are their areas of excellence that they need to just make sure they keep pushing when it comes to defense?
You know, I think they're actually pretty decent at stopping the run for the most part. And I think CJ Mosley is going to be kind of the key to bridge the gap between the, you know, secondary play and, you know, line of scrimmage play. We've talked about it before. His performance in the first half of the first game, I mean, it's only, you know, two quarters for the football that we've seen him pretty much. But his coverage skills were amazing. He was up on the line playing great. I think his presence is going to change things. I'm not going to say like a ton, but it's going to have kind of that same effect, I think, as Darnold being back on the offense had. It's going to open up things for other people, but also, you know, he's going to be a little bit of that Band-Aid and let, you know, help Jamal and Marcus play a little bit, you know, more in the defensive backfield as opposed to being up on the line of scrimmage. I think, you know, they're going to be able to mask a little bit of the deficiencies of Tremaine and Daryl Roberts. I might be putting, you know, too much on one person, but I really do, after seeing, you know, two quarters for the football from that dude, think that he's going to – I'm not going to say, you know, him being back is going to, you know, skyrocket this defense into, you know, the top 10 defenses in the NFL, but I think he's going to help that bend don't break and you know, go a little bit more towards the – don't bend, don't break. If that makes any sense.
No, it does. And I think, you know, obviously they've missed him, and, you know, some of the guys have stepped in and play well, right, Josh? But I don't know if you saw this report that, you know, a couple of days ago, that Mosley has been running like a Friday group of meetings. I think they call it like virtual reality Friday or something. I don't know. You can go Google it and find out. But the point is, even in the fact where he's not playing, you know, he's still helping captain and coach up that defense, which is awesome. And, you know, you saw the fact that he was doubtful for this past week, which, you know, if he's not back against the Patriots, I definitely think he's back in 2 weeks. And right, having that extra day off, so it's going to be a Monday night game, as you said, Josh, like, you know, it could be helpful. So right, I think he's certainly going to help. It's not going to, right, to Travis, to your point, make it a top 10 group, but his presence can't hurt this group. Right, the penalties are just going to be the penalties. And that they are just going to need to, right, clean that up or not, and
hope for the best. So if CJ Mosley runs a virtual reality, let's really dive deep into the Jets defense and gets praised for it, and yet I do it and I get a cease and desist letter and to yourself and others email, like, where's the, like, I just want equality, guys. I want to be able to run the dorkiest Jets defensive virtual reality world and just live my life, you know.
You're saying that when you're staring through the window at one Jets drive, kind of like peering through the window creepily, like that's not creepy. You're saying?
When I sit on my couch in full Jets pads and uniforms, my wife tells me to get a life. That's all.
Okay, you're saying, so it's like, you know, It's one set of rules for him, and you have to play by a whole different set of rules, and that's not.
If I want to spend $500 and dress like Avery Williamson and sit on my couch, I should be freed. And I should be applauded.
I think you're right. That's a great point. I think we're gonna end the podcast here. This is a good point where we can just say, I don't know what else there is to say at this point. So thank you. I'm going to have to, if you're wearing Avery Williamson gear, I'm going to go ahead and get my Anthony Schlegel gear all set up. And Travis, who will you be wearing when we have our trio virtual reality meeting?
Oh, Lord. I know I posed that question to everybody else, but I don't think I thought about it for myself.
That's a good question. What's the worst Jets? I mean, Avery Williams is not bad. Anthony Schlegel is terrible. Who is the worst Jets player that you would happily wear a uniform of?
Well, I will say I actually still own a LaRon Landry jersey.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. That is amazing.
I know.
He was,
and I will occasionally put it on. And, yep, that's what I'll be wearing.
I would if you're wearing a LeRon Landry jersey, I'm gonna have to wear a Curtis Maben jersey to go with you. Oh, yes. Good times. Good times. Well, hey, gentlemen, thank you so much. Listeners, thank you so much for listening. We're excited that we get to talk to you after a Jets win. Be sure to check out all the awesome content on Turn on the Jets this week, as well as the Turn on the Jets podcast, as well as the Play Like a Jet podcast network. There's tons of content that those guys are cranking out for you. We will be back next week. I'm not exactly sure if we will do a Monday show or a Tuesday show. We'll have to check in with the bosses and see where they want us deployed, but we will happily rise to the challenge. So thank you for listening. Make sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week. Adios.